Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the Turtle Mountains of North Dakota. And right now I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties trying to get in on the switchboard. So I'm hoping that my wonderful people will call me up on the regular line and see if we can get through. In the meantime, let's talk about this week ahead. It's not the only technical problem that I've had this week. I'm hearing it from a lot of different sources that we're experiencing as Mercury gets ready to go retrograde. It is in Virgo, and it is moving forward, but it's already in the shadow, which means it's in the period of the sign that it will be in during its retrograde cycle. And as Mercury goes through in Virgo, gets ready to back up and hit Saturn again. It's been conjunct Saturn, which slows it down. It's good for thinking, for learning, for stick-to-ing and doing good work. But Mercury conjunct Saturn also tends to slow down anything to do with communication, transportation, and getting our point across. Makes it serious. We can do it slowly and carefully and thoughtfully, but not as smoothly as we would like. And a Mercury-Saturn conjunction opposed Uranus, and the Mercury-opposed Uranus brings the unexpected at any given moment. And it gives us a good question about what will happen next. So in that process, I'm here trying to get onto the switchboard of my radio show so that I can call people in. I'm hoping to have you all call in about 15 minutes. That would be at 347-215-8881. And in the meantime, while we're trying to get you on the station here, if you could, we'll talk about what's going on in the world and in the headlines as this aspect picks up. One of the pieces we've talked a little bit about this summer is the lineup, as Anne speaks of it, the Jupiter-Chiron-Neptune conjunction in Aquarius that's been running all summer long, and that they're all retrograde at the moment. And this Jupiter-Chiron-Neptune conjunction speaks to me most fully of the question on healthcare reform. Why say that? Chiron is the planet we associate with the wounded healer archetype. The image of the Chiron was originally a centaur in Greek mythology, and he was a centaur that trained the heroes. He trained Jason and Hercules, and in the process of his training, he, long story, but he was wounded himself, and he was too immortal, too divine, to die directly, but he was in terrible pain. And in the process of trying to learn his way out of his pain, he learned so much about healing that he decided to start to train healers. And he trained Asclepius and began the tradition of healing, or so they say, the healing temples in ancient Greece. So he's the sign, the symbol of learning to heal from wherever we have a problem, learning to heal with where life has tested us. And we can think of, all of us can think of, that some the knowledge that we have to pass on to others comes from the depth of our own experience. That, that they, an expression that never trust a dermatologist with good skin, they don't know what they're going through. I've never met a good psychologist who didn't have a slightly strange family. Well, this speaks of that, the best person to ask in New York City for directions is someone who's been lost or just moved there recently themselves. And if they moved there recently themselves, then they know how to find their way around and are happy to pass it on. So we have Chiron, the archetype of the wounded healer in mythology and in astrology, is connected on either side with the planet Neptune, which on a good day is intuition, imagination, and a dream, the vision.
On a bad day, alcoholism and drugs.
There you are, Anne.
I know, and I think I got Mark on here too. Mark, you on?
Yes, hello.
Yay, okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. So you are on the switchboard today.
I'm on the switchboard. I was able to get it running, yeah. But I wanted to wait until it was, wait until you got to Neptune and then spring in and surprise you. No, I got home,
my
so I'm good.
My dream of you all coming good.
Yes, we're all here. So we're all here. Yeah. It wasn't working with the other way, so we're in. Yeah. So anyway, it's Ann Ortley, who just flew in from Chicago, and I'm at my Bright Red desk on the Upper East Side. And we're also joined by Mark.
Over on the west side of Manhattan.
Yay.
And I want to say that this is one of the gifts that I'm seeing, is that when everything looks like it's going wrong, something always seems to be turning it around. I'm finding the gift in the trouble. So I'm so glad the two of you made it on the radio tonight.
Yeah.
We're good.
Right. Maybe that's why it wouldn't let me on, because you were already on the switchboard. But
no,
was,
I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't on the switchboard.
Well, I'm so glad you made it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I wasn't in, so I don't know. But I went in. I managed to get into it, so I'm like, okay, well, I can see the switchboard, so we're good to go. Cool. So forward, continue with the Scalpius.
The Mercury-Saturn opposed Neptune, opposed Uranus has been making for some really interesting technological problems this week.
Oh, we had a nightmare. I was taking the certification test in Chicago. And the photocopies were all wrong. There were extra pages. There were missing pages. There were new people. There was a room change. It started 45 minutes late. It was like Mercury, Mercury, Mercury. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really very cranky right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cranky.
Yeah.
So
keep going with the Scalpius. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That Neptune is vision. And no, please. Thank you.
You're thinking you got to talk for a whole hour, right?
Yeah. Well, I just love the repartee with you guys.
Yep.
So we have the Neptune in Aquarius at bringing up the whole vision of what we could do differently, the dream of it. But it's also bringing up projection and fear that doesn't make any sense, and both the illusion of that it will solve all the problems and the projection that will only create problems.
Right.
And we have Jupiter, the sense that there is freedom here. We're looking for it. We're looking to expand it. We're looking to make the most of it. So the Jupiter-Neptune-Chiron conjunction was going forward. Now it's retrograding back, and then it'll move forward together. They're very tightly, and it really describes this healthcare debate. Mm-hmm. But what I'm asking people to look at is in their own life, where are they living that out? Where do they project their own health issues on other people? You know, who do they find hold responsible that's not really for their own health? Where are they not either, imagining things, and avoiding looking at the problems, or are they imagining things and only seeing problems? The few clients I have that always call up saying, I know I've got a brain tumor. It's terrible, but at least I won't have to, deal with my in-laws at Christmas. I'm like, no, I don't think you do have a brain tumor.
Yeah,
sounds like a nice, easy out, but you might if you keep on using it as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm seeing as this lineup. Now, one of the issues of this lineup is...
Right, plus Saturn is in conjunct. It's moving into an in-conjunct with it. So he's in conjunct Jupiter, and then he's going to be in conjunct Chiron and Neptune, which is always adjust, adjust, adjust. So it's kind of like the structure of the dream needs adjustment. The process needs to change. The vision of how you're planning on doing it needs to change. And that process is going to go on, for the next couple of weeks as that in conjunct forms. It's also a health aspect. So a lot of times, it's the summer cold, or it's the feeling not quite right, or, it's that energy of, geez, I got all this stuff to do, and time just zips by. Where does it go?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a other part of it. It's not just that healthcare debate, but it's the structure of it needs to change too.
When you look at the healthcare debate, there's a wild card in it too, and that fits with Aquarius. Aquarius always has a wild card, and the wild card here is the Aquarian age and all of the new age and alternative sort of healing. And there is a lot more to that in healthcare than people are recognizing. And the established outfits got it all worked out for them. But they realize they can't just march ahead like that, because there is a great use of acupuncture, massage, all kinds of like Alexander technique, many, many things that people are using, Rolfing, you know, and even some things that have been recognized even more in the last 50 years, but chiropractic now collects a lot of insurance. So, but it doesn't get paid as highly as the AMA. And so there's a little bit of negotiating going on that doesn't want to be acknowledged. And that's kind of the wild card, because whatever ends up being pushed through, part of that equation is going to be an unspoken part of the equation. But it has to do with how many dollars get allocated for something that's not right in the middle of the grab the money part of it.
Part of the pile, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's going to be very, I agree. I think that it's interesting that we're facing a major health issue with the flu coming up this fall, as we're facing all the questions around the insurance. And I think that it's an interesting piece, because Jupiter often frees us in ways that we don't necessarily like. You know, I want to be free. Well, being dead is free. I want to be free. I want to expand. I want to show you. And I have a feeling that this swine flu epidemic this winter, though I don't think swine flu is as bad as other flus, I think it will, you know, just spread quickly, that it will be a chance where we see that if we invest in the health of everybody, the health of the individual improves.
Right.
And if we don't invest in the health of everybody, then the health of the individual is in more danger.
Right.
So I just think that that's going to get really clear this fall, and I just wish it would do it in a nice way. So I'm hoping for that.
You're hoping for nice swine flu, is that it, Heather?
Yep. So you benefit if I don't get swine flu?
Right.
Yes, you do.
Exactly.
We all benefit. Yeah,
I certainly do.
Exactly.
Especially if I'm riding the subway with you.
Right.
So that looks good. And yes, what else are you seeing this week?
Well, I noticed that big old whopping T square, you know, which is kind of a little nasty one.
It's a doozy.
Yeah, it's a doozy, and it's Mars opposite Pluto, and they square Mercury. And it's a little wide, but you could throw in Uranus. You know, you can make it a mutable cross. But this week, what perfects is the Mars opposite Pluto and the Mercury square to both Mars and Pluto. So Mercury's changing signs. He's going into Libra, and Mars is changing signs. He's going into Cancer. And when they do that, they're both going to aspect Pluto at 0 degrees of Capricorn. Mm-hmm. So Mars Pluto's a war aspect. So that's kind of fights and arguments. And I just got in. Was reading my email, and one of the women wrote and said, you know, I was going to serve my husband with divorce papers this week, and now you're making me nervous. And I'm like, well, Mars opposite Pluto, this is actually an aspect to serve him with. You know, that said,
if
you know,
you're
wait
out of town when it happens.
Yeah, make sure you're out of town when it happens, or just do it Wednesday, Thursday. You know, but this is a divorce she's been thinking about for a while. And the Mercury square, the Pluto-Mars, has also got a sibling or a communications or serving papers. Mm-hmm. Aspect or energy to it. And Mercury in Libra makes it about being balanced and fair, and it also makes it about legal matters, because Libra rules legal matters. So I think a lot of people are going to be doing legal matter issues on this.
I agree.
You know, this week.
One of the things, though, that worries me about that is that this lineup at the moment is so intense and willful. Mm-hmm. On a good day, we can use that to power ourselves and get stuff done that we wouldn't have gotten done otherwise.
Right.
But there's a lot of emotional fuel lying around.
Mm-hmm.
And like fuel in a combustion engine, it can drive our car
or
it can blow up.
Right.
And you know, I think of that, you know, the swimsuit model that was found all chopped up and, you know.
I know, he cut her fingers off.
Yep, but he forgot to
leave. And he pulled her teeth out, but then she had silicone breast implants, and that's how they figured out who it was. I didn't know they kept track of those things that way, but I guess
no, I didn't either. But you know, it makes sense.
Manufacturer models, yeah, you know, manufacturing.
Scary. Right.
Yeah. Well, that was a little weird.
It was very weird.
I guess they do that in case they need
to do a recall or something.
Right.
But it was kind of like, you know, I mean, good for the medical examiner who said, you know, well, we can figure it out this way.
Yeah, he gets his television show next week. But the process with the and you know, her cell phone had a record of many calls to another lover the day that she was found dead, apparently,
right.
or was apparently killed. But that kind of intensity and willpower and primal energy clash
craziness
is really likely under this. There's a kind of all these tough aspects to Mercury can fray frail psyches. So if you're serving papers on a husband who's been acting
violent.
Out and who, right, don't do it this week or do it when you're out of town. Like,
right.
you know, don't take risks with that.
Yeah, it's not a
And in general,
people.
Be good to other people's psyches. Mm-hmm. You know, don't count on their sanity. Be
yeah,
kind to them.
Don't stir things up.
Don't stir things up.
Yeah,
right.
It's the time to poke the stick in the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and we may see, you know, an increase of strange, weird people acting out. But
well, let
I'm
me tell you, the kid on the
that.
Plane next to me was acting out. I was ready
oh,
to
really?
Sit on his head. No, I mean, you know, and then I was in this test today, and everybody was, like, crazed. And it is kind of a hyper-energy. So watch it when you're around people, just being aware of the fact that everybody's feeling really sensitive and very hyper and liable to roll over the edge and you know, kind of go, you know, and it wasn't the kid's fault. He was having the ears pop, you know, he wasn't happy. But I was like, you know, I wanted to hit the mother because it's like, do something, but she couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's that kind, and I'm not a violent kind of girl, you know. So when I'm feeling it, I'm like, man, there's a lot of stuff flying around in here. So being aware of it, I think, makes us a little less crazed. But it also is a week where people are going to be feeling a little bit more volatile and a little more highly emotional than normal. So, yeah. We also have Venus changing sign. She goes into Libra, or not Libra, she goes into Leo, which she likes, which is always lovely. And so that's a nice piece to the week. So that part's good. And then at the end of the week, when the moon gets into Capricorn, those are really productive aspects on Saturday and Sunday. So the beginning of the week is hard, and then the back end of the week gets a little easier and nicer. So...
And we are in the shadow of the Mercury retrograde coming up.
Yeah.
We're starting to see a few snags on communications, and it's sort of a foreshadowing of what Mercury retrograde will bring.
And I have gotten so klutzy, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you have such a hard time with Mercury retrograde.
I have a terrible time with Mercury retrograde. And
you're
becoming a Mercury retrograde joke. Right. So why am I traveling? It really is crazy.
That's right.
But Mercury rules too many things in my chart, which helps nice on a good day and tough on a bad. But this, I'm
it's
finding
that... It's what makes
you
a brilliant writer, though.
When it's working.
you should just stay home and write whenever it's Mercury retrograde.
I do, but almost every single time I have to travel, like I do now.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I get used to working with it somehow. But as Mercury gets ready to go retrograde, we start taking on some of those basic Mercury retrograde skills. You know, confirm everything you hear, confirm appointments, double check, give yourself
double check the room assignments, yep.
Everything. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Put extra time in all of your schedules.
Yeah.
Make lists, check them twice, measure three times before cutting.
Measure three times and then don't cut till it goes direct.
Really,
no, actually, you don't have to stop living on a Mercury retrograde. But it does, because we are such a communication-oriented society, it really does kind of screw up the cell phones and the computers and all that.
Yeah.
So back
and
up your computers and back up your... You know, back up your cell phone numbers and all the stuff that you know you should be doing that you're not doing. This is a good time to do it before he really goes retrograde, which is in a week or so.
And the process also that I see that I'm on staff at a retreat, which is the perfect thing to do with Mercury retrograde. But that's nice. But also, in school, it's a good time at the beginning of year to go back and see old friends and old family. If you're going into just starting a class or just starting a year at work, don't worry if you don't make new friends until October. At first, it will feel like you've just walked in on a clique because everybody knows each other except you. But that's just part of the Mercury retrograde cycle. After they've gotten to know each other and said, hi, how are you, and caught up, they're going to be bored with one another and want to meet you. So to In talking to teachers, I'm suggesting that they don't really worry about forging ahead until October, but that they use September to really solidly review last what the students know before, and to bring all of their information that they have studied in the past to the present and make it relevant now. You know, if you're teaching a course on ecology, what are all of their family histories, and what is the history of the area, and what are their earlier science classes have to do with ecology, so that they're ready to, you know, launch on new information once October turns around, that you'll find it's a much better use of this time. If you're a writer and it's hard to write, and this is a great time to edit or to go back to an old script that you haven't looked at in a long time and want to bring forward and work on.
And revise and change. Yeah. So we know the planet Mercury doesn't go backwards, but what it does look like is it appears to go backwards. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing it does is it brings back people from our past or people that we used to communicate with, particularly hard for the Virgos and Geminis because they're ruled by Mercury, and Heather has a lot of stuff in Gemini. I'm a Virgo, so I tend to run into people I hadn't seen in a while. Some of them you want to see, some of them you go, not so much. But it also is a great opportunity for the universe. What it does is it sends you gifts. I consider the people that you run into on a Mercury retrograde to be your ghosts. And your job is to chat them up and talk to them because they're returning to make you aware of something or to make you conscious of something, even if it's just how much you've changed since you used to hang out and talk to them. So it's a wonderful time to, you know, connect with people that you haven't been in touch with for a while. And it also really is a great time to see what the universe is trying to make you look at and redo. Because we charge forward so much in our life, the retrograde is the natural time for the universe, from the universe's point of view, for us to review and to go back and reflect upon. It's an internal process. Retrogrades make us go internal and make us return, retro, go back to. And it gives a different kind of energy because we're allowed to kind of kick back and say, okay, you know, nothing's really moving forward, so what else do I need to organize and get done? And, you know, and I always love retrogrades for releasing. I always find I get a lot of stuff out the door on a retrograde that, you know, I'm done with or it needs to leave me now. So very cool. So what else is in the week ahead? What do you guys think about Venus and Leo?
I think, yep, adds a little bling for going back to school clothes.
That's right.
One of the tricky pieces with Mercury, with Venus in Leo, is it's going to be tempting to spend a lot of money on clothes just when our judgment isn't working so well with all the retrograde planets. Now, just to make it clear, all the things you were saying, that Mercury doesn't go retrograde until late on the 6th and the 7th, but it's starting to slow down already. It's already in the place that it's going to travel over back and forth. That's what we call it, the shadow, as I was telling you earlier. But that the and so we're already feeling it. And it really does help if we use this time to get ourselves organized for September.
Right.
And tend to our personal work, because there won't be much time in September. So it's like, clear your desk, because get old stuff done now. That's what I'm seeing. Venus in Leo is lovely, sociable, friendly, outgoing, good for reaching out, and we're going to need every bit of that. It's a little touchy about being ignored or feeling disrespected or upstaged. So it's good with Venus in Leo. It's particularly important to be very free with your compliments. Anything good that you see in others, it works. Go ahead, Mark.
You notice the with this Venus moving into Leo, just after Mars enters Cancer and Mercury enters Libra, what happens is we've got Pluto lurking over there, you know, like the troll under the bridge, because each one of these, when they cross the bridge into another sign, the first thing they meet is some aspect to Pluto. And we get that with Mercury and Mars with that T-square right away. Mm-hmm. And then the very next day, on this Thursday, the 27th, we have Venus quincunxes Pluto, and then Venus will semi-sextile Mars all in the same day, and then it sextiles Mercury the next day. So we go through this this difficult, challenging T-square with Mercury and Mars dealing with Pluto, and we sort of recover from that for about a half a day, and then Venus comes in. And Venus is in good shape with Mars and Mercury, but that initial contact is with Pluto, and it's an inconjunct. And so that's going to be an adjustment, and it might actually be carrying on a theme that started when Venus was opposite Pluto a few weeks ago. And, you know, these Venus-Pluto contacts are always difficult in terms of relationships. There's often a power and control issue and a sort of a deep psychic awareness of what our connection is to our partner. And if we can use that in a positive way to learn from and even to change, you know, to bring things up from the psyche and look at them, we can, you know, dredge up a lot of things that we weren't aware of before. And a lot of those are positive, not all at all negative. It's just parts of the pattern in a relationship that we weren't able to see. Now we can see. They come to the surface. Being an inconjunct, it'll require an adjustment. So there's an awkwardness that goes on, and it will have to do with the sense of power and control and where is the locus of power in the relationship that we have, whatever those relationships are. So we'll have that. And then Venus semi-sextiles Mars and sextiles Mercury, and that actually puts a real positive spin on whatever the Pluto contact brought us through the Venus. So that's all coming up end of the week.
And I think the thing that's important to remember is this week there's three personal planets plus Vesta. We didn't even talk about her changing signs. Mercury's changing the way he communicates. Mars is changing the way he takes action. Venus is changing what she wants. And Vesta, who's in charge of the home and the hearth, she's one of the big four asteroids. She's going to say, well, what are the changes we want to make around the home? The other thing that's going to happen is Venus and Vesta are both going to drop into the South Node right before they shift out, because the South Node right now has moved into Cancer. So they're going to kind of do some kind of release. So there'll be release around your love. There'll be a release around your home. And then everybody shifts. And when the personal planets shift, remember, their job is to help the sun grow and develop. So they're all going to be singing a different song this week than what they've been singing for the last month while we've been in the eclipse season. So it's very much the energy of, oh, we forgot to tell you. Oh, don't forget. Oh, you know, did I remember to mention? It'll be like stuff comes popping out of places that you're going to go, what? What? Because they've changed signs and they bring new things to life. And Mark, your example of running into Pluto the troll under the bridge, no offense, Pluto, not calling you a troll. Maybe you want to be called a dwarf, but you don't want to be a dwarf either. Okay, whatever. And so everybody running into Pluto first, Pluto goes, so do you have what you need to cross the bridge? You know, and there's always a question when you run into Pluto where he asks you, are you really ready for this? So any planet entering a new sign is going to trigger this kind of, oh, wait, I forgot, oh. You know, that kind of energy. So it's also a good time to always double check that you got everything. You got your keys, you got your boarding pass, you got your, you know, all the stuff, you know, because it's going to go really fast, too. The time will feel like it's very much in warp speed.
I think that fits just right.
Yeah.
Do we have any callers on the line?
We actually do, although I don't know if they're still there. The call-in number is 347-215-8881. So
and
you can call us
one.
Or you can write us, and I do have a caller, and I'll try and pick him up.
Wonderful.
Hello, are you there, caller?
Hello, can you
Hi.
Hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Great.
Great. You got a question?
Well,
who are you?
Yeah, you were... it's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
From
How
Virginia.
Are you? Hi, Bill. I know Bill. Hey. Okay, cool. My friend Bill, yes.
You were talking about people are really on edge, and...
Yes.
My wife, where she works at a hospital, some event happened where somebody saw somebody upset in an office, and then they talked to some other person. They found out some things about this person had done, like crashed a computer, and they told him, oh, hey, you know, we think you're a little overstressed. Why don't you take off a week? And
good week to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And told my wife that she should take off a week, too, because they feel like she might be in some danger from this person. So I'd like to
really?
Give you her birth time.
Okay.
Your wife?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is
it's
wife's
April
birth time?
Yeah, wife's
yeah.
birth time. Mm-hmm.
April 27th, 1963, 10:47 a.m.
April 27, 1963,
10:47
a.m.
Where? Oh, Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Yeah, it is kind of one of those weeks where we're going to have shooters. So
right.
April 27, 1963, 10:47 in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's a great week for her to take off. So is it okay with her that she's taking some time off?
I guess so.
And are they upset? They think that she's in danger because this man might have, or this person might have seen her witnessing the confrontation? Is that what happened?
Yeah. He may feel that she has something to do with him finding himself in this position, and
yeah.
he's a young guy. He drives a hearse,
mm-hmm.
and he collects guns,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and apparently there's some information, we don't know what, that he's been casing our house in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea, and I would also alert the police to the situation.
Well, yeah, that's already been done.
Yeah, you got the.
But
cell
I was
phone.
Just wondering.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what her aspects are, whether or not they're.
Yeah, she's got some violent ones here. She's got Mars in the 12th. So basically, until Mars gets out of the 12th house, I would say, you know, you want to...
And it's right on her moon.
And it's right on her moon, right. So that's a threat to her. And it doesn't get out of her 12th house until Mars goes into Cancer, which is gets to 28 Cancer because she's a late girl. It's not going to get out of that house until... like October 17th.
Wow.
So
in the next 2 days...
we'll talk about
it. The sun is conjuncting her progressed Mars just as Mars conjuncts her natal moon.
Right.
So I would say, hey, if she can make it through past this the Mars-Pluto aspect on Thursday, she's home free. If she wants to go away for a few days, I'd say, hey, go away for a few days.
I would move away.
You know, just because it's more like if the occasion occurred, this man might act out. It's not like he would so much try to find her, but I feel like he's paranoid and restless, and
mm-hmm.
he's looking for people. So I think he's not looking for her particularly, but he's driving around checking on all the people that he thinks might be the problem.
Right.
And if he happens to run into her, it's going to be a Mars response. It's not going to be a secret plan following her stealthily. It's going to be drive by, see her, act out.
And
uh-huh.
you have that earlier history that you had with the construction company. So this is not
right.
an unknown thing in your world.
Right.
So with the Pluto... You also have Pluto going direct in the House of Employees, and that takes
mm-hmm.
place on the 11th of
mm-hmm.
September. So I would also say the middle period of September, because
the 10th, 11th,
12th, and then through the 18th, that new moon, because the new moon is on your solar arc Mars in the third house of communication.
Wait a minute, you're talking about Melissa or me?
Well, you're married to Melissa.
Right.
So the energy in your chart reflects in hers.
Oh, I see.
And you had that earlier experience. Is it a period of time?
Right.
When was that?
That was around 95.
Okay. Yeah, so we're having the Saturn opposition to that, so it's a possibility for a repeat with someone you know and an opposition, like the person, instead of
uh-huh.
happening to you, it would happen to someone else. So
I definitely get an
awareness of it. Hmm?
So family members
I'm getting
are...
the... Mm-hmm. I don't think it's so much the family members. I really do think it's directly to her.
It's directly
to her. Directly about the work
okay.
related. I don't think so much anybody else is in danger. I mean, you know.
Well, it's a work. You know,
trust your own intuition rather than us. But
right.
my reading of the chart is it's directly to her. It will be, you know, she's just one of many people that the guy's looking for, and that there's a very good chance that he will act out this week and get himself arrested and be safe, or else get back on meds and be safe. That that he may really peak now, and if he doesn't peak now, it'll be mid-September. But I have a feeling, I'm just feeling like he's being watched like a hawk at the moment, and all he has to do is sneeze wrong, and they'll pick him up.
Yeah, because Mercury's squaring her sixth house, Neptune, Pluto.
He's actually was put on paid leave,
okay.
So he's actually not permitted to enter the university campus.
Yeah, I think it's a great week for a trip to the beach. Myself,
mm-hmm.
I would leave town. I would not be home for the
just
next.
Get out of the way for a little while and let it play itself out.
Mm-hmm.
He's on paid leave, so he may not come to the campus. Legally, but
right.
I think, you know, one of the good things about this guy, I get the feeling, is that he acts out rather than broods, that
uh-huh.
he's looking for a scene, not for a bloodbath.
Hmm.
I'm not happy with the cardinal, everything Trossen.
But I'm not
cardinal.
Happy with, but I'm not happy, I wouldn't count on that, and I wouldn't count on a scene turning into a bloodbath.
Right.
But I think it would start with an escalation rather than just go straight there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, I'm looking at the Pluto going direct, Heather, in conjunct
mm-hmm.
or trine
yep,
to the natal Uranus
second
house, and that's the employee,
mm-hmm.
1, 2,
mm-hmm.
3, 4, 5, 6,
mm-hmm.
7, 8, the south node's crossing her ascendant. I don't
right,
like that.
That's Saturn, Pluto. I don't either, and
no.
Mars heading into the 12th on her
and Mercury, Mercury triggering that Mars. So it's
mm-hmm.
he thinks she talked about him or he thinks she did this to him. So that's
mm-hmm.
and she's got Neptune in that third house by solar arc and Pluto sitting on it. So this is also a problem that's been brewing for a while between them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not
new.
The
source of this goes back a couple of years.
Yeah, this is a couple years old. And then now that Pluto's in cardinal signs, it wants to take action. So I would just be very cautious.
But she's only one of the list of people
yes.
who's been
yes.
worried about him and getting him in trouble. I mean,
yes.
if he and one of his problems is he's not paying attention. He's not taking any responsibility for the fact that. A lot of people think he's crazy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Well, it took them a long time to persuade Edmund that there was something wrong there, but they finally did.
Yeah.
So.
Right, but now that the midheaven has moved into, her progressed midheaven is now at zero Gemini, so this also makes the shift be much more volatile in terms of the work, or in terms of the work situation. And Venus is the ruler of her fourth house coming to her midheaven. I would like her to be very cautious. And with your history, you know, you're going to see it in the fourth, you know, you're going to, as it's a 14-year cycle for you, for your
mm-hmm.
situation, it's a, you know, it's an opposition. Instead of happening to you, it's happening to someone you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't, and if you think back 7 years ago, same thing. So you want to just be very conscious of the fact that this is, you know, there's a little propensity here, and we want to just be really cautious. It's not, you know, it's not like, you know, guns firing and she doesn't have, you know, I'm disappearing tomorrow, but I would, if there's a there's an opportunity to go postal, this is the week where it's going to happen.
Yes, and then I think the point that and it's important to know is that she won't have to be vigilant forever.
No, but she does
this
have
is
to get,
really
she's
coming up to the surface now.
Right, she's a Taurus, though, and that Venus is going into that south node on her ascendant. So I want that Venus in her first house and I want that Mars out of her 12th before I say she's okay. She's an incredible, you know, she's an incredibly attractive woman too, and she's got a magnetism to her that's going to pull in. She's got that Neptune opposite her natal moon in Gemini. I mean, I know her, and so the natal moon, the solar arc Neptune opposite her moon in Gemini, gives an enormous resonance to her for crazy people finding her. So that's, you know, she's not a magnet for them.
Are you talking about our marriage or what?
Huh? No. No. No, but I mean, I would think that when she walks down the street, like strange people come up and talk to her all the time anyway.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell her to be safe. So a vacation on the beach, Bill, this could be good, you know?
Well.
Come to New York. We'll go out for drinks.
Oh, well, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
We'll take you up on that offer.
All right, cool. You can sleep on my – I have an aero bed. You can come sleep on the aero bed.
Cool.
Bring the kids. Come on up. So,
That would be wonderful.
Very cool. No, tell her to be extra careful. Yeah.
Okay. I will do that.
Cool. Sounds good.
Thank you all so much.
You are welcome.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
of course, now that you've said it on the air, she has to go someplace else. She can't come.
Yeah, right. She can't come to my house. Well, it's not that big an apartment, you know.
All right.
So
anybody else on the line?
Nope, nobody else. But we are calling number 347-215-8881. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to call, or you can write us. And I did get an email from somebody, but I just got in, and I don't know where it was. And it was they wanted us to answer. They wanted us to talk about any last comments about the eclipse. You know, the eclipse energy that's wrapping up and that we're kind of in the process of working with.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still playing itself out. I see, the example that I gave here, that where there's a cycle of three of them that played out really vividly.
Mm-hmm.
As for those who don't know, we're living on the edge of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians here in North Dakota, and my mate is helping start a teacher training program on the tribal college. And the tribal chair apparently had alienated the tribal council at the beginning of the summer. And on the second eclipse, after the first eclipse, there was great rumbling. The second eclipse, he was fired, and so by the tribal chair was fired by the tribal council, and the president of the college was fired by the board of trustees. On the third eclipse, both of them were hired back because their lawyers said they were fired illegally. And now both the tribal government and the college are trying to figure out how to work, you know, how to use this productively instead of just, you know, keep going in war of attrition against each other, to look at the problems that set off this chain of firings and see if they can solve the problems, build in more respect, and move forward. But it's not easy because it exposed some of the deeper issues. But it was so clearly right on the eclipses. Firing the president of the college is a classic, it's the deposing of, it's
of
an eclipse.
King.
He was eclipsed.
Mm-hmm.
So, he had the dignity to pull it off and turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive. So looking at, what I'm seeing is the fallout from the series of eclipses that cause these unexpected and sudden shifts. How do we now fix it? How do we now take what got stirred up this summer and instead of go back to the way things were, actually make some improvement? To trust that what was let go for a reason.
I think it's
they
hard.
They can't go back to business as usual.
Yeah, I've had a few people going, I want to go back. I don't want it to be over. And I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You were complaining about it a lot before.
Right.
But now they're like, no, I want it back. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I mean,
yeah.
But, for instance, these two men have their jobs back, but if they continue to not honor the problems that were upsetting people and the reason why they got fired, they'll be fired again.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go back. They are back. They're in the same position, but they have to go back and really fix the problems or say goodbye.
Right, but aren't okay.
Go ahead.
Aren't they going to try and get even or something? I mean, these are nasty aspects.
They could easily be this week, or
mm-hmm.
It could be that they'll be fired again. But the only way for them to stay in those jobs now is to fix it. If they try to get back at people, they're going to get fired for sure.
Okay. Because
well, they're being very carefully watched and to address the issues.
Right.
So hopefully they will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, very carefully watched is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little...
So how are you seeing the fallout of the eclipse?
I think it's just been really, people have been really wired it's got like a leftover vibe to it that I've not normally seen on eclipses where, usually you have the eclipse, it happens, everybody goes back to their corners, and this one
mm-hmm.
seems to have a longer resonance, and I don't know
mm-hmm.
if it's because
in a row,
it was on,
I think, really
I think it's because it was maybe it was on the south node and it just made it deeper and stronger. But yeah, you know, it's definitely one of those. It's an interesting eclipse, and I think because of the length of it too, you know, because the solar eclipse was 9 minutes or 7 minutes long, so it's going to have a longer resonance, and it just feels like it's more sticky. I don't know, Mark. What do you think?
Well, you know, usually we just have one solar and one lunar eclipse, and that's the season.
Yeah.
But this one was two lunars and one solar, so it extended over, you know, like 6 weeks. You know, involved a lot of eclipsing, and we're not used to that. We don't. When was the last time we had? Remember?
No, it's been a few years.
Yeah, it's been several years. And so this one, you know, we just felt that all this, it's why there's such a back-and-forth energy about it. Because, like, oh, now this is eclipse. No, now that's eclipse. and it really happens in different signs. You know, there's a lot of shifting between all of them. So it's like being in an extended run when you didn't expect it. And, you know, I think that's why it leaves people a little more jangled and even looking for a fourth one.
Right. Is it really over?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like there should be more behind
it. It's safe to come out yet, you know.
Is it safe or is something going to land on my head? Yeah,
right.
No, I
think people have that feeling that the other shoe has yet to drop. But we've already had three shoes drop. How many are there, you know?
Dropping on our heads. Yeah. Well, we do have a caller, so I'll try and pick him up. Let me see. Hello. Try again. Hi.
Hello.
Are you there? Hi.
Hi. I'm here.
You're there. Hi.
Hi. How are you? My name is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. And what can we do for you today, Tom?
Oh, I just wanted to know what you see coming up for me. I was born on January 27th.
Mm-hmm.
In 59.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:50 a.m. in Queens, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surrounded by Virgos.
That's a wonderful
Here
sign
too.
To be surrounded by.
And this is birthday week.
It is birthday week.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Your children, your mother, my wife and my mother. Your wife and your mother, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you have a Virgo moon, so you feel very at home with Virgo energy.
Yes, I do.
So happy birthday to those
people. They can drive you a little nuts once in a while. You've got that much Virgo, and I've got enough Virgo to sink a battleship in my chart, so I can say these things. But between your Virgo moon, you might have been mothered by someone who tended to correct you lovingly. Like, that's, you know, as long as she could help fix you, then no one else would bother you. I mean, loving, but dealing with that. And that in her family of origin, there was a... She grew up never quite feeling satisfied with herself and always feeling like she had to improve herself or
Absolutely.
To keep doing more or work for others. And so that energy got, you know, a little nestled in you too. And so there's part of you that's never quite sure that you're good enough or have done enough.
Absolutely.
Or,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
And so there's some... That may be coming up and reflecting back and forth, and that's what you all need. That's what all Virgos need, is reassurance that just as you are is okay.
It's just
fine. Yep, just as you are is just fine. You can always, you know, I described that the Virgo, and this is your mother and your
wife,
and that good suggestions, great ideas are what you give people, but great ideas can make people feel like, what, I'm not good enough already? And so what the nicest thing you can give to your wife and to your mother is just appreciation, no suggestions. And if they need to complain or talk to you about something, a process, you need to make sure you say, do you need a sounding board or do you want some ideas? And if they just need a sounding board, just go, it was awful, wasn't it? You know, And if
make those consoling noises that make us feel better.
Make consoling noises.
Right?
But if they say, well, how do I fix the dishwasher? Like, okay, now I'll look, you know. But don't come up with any good ideas. And the same for you. It's a little hard for you to take advice without feeling like you did something wrong instead of like you're growing. But really, you're growing. You're really growing.
Yeah.
It's a big year for creativity with you, too. Very much an expansion, and it looks like your career should start to really start to take off. because you've got Jupiter and Neptune on your Venus.
And Pluto.
Do you have like a new career or new ideas of where you want to go with your work?
Actually, I'm trying. I want my own self interest to be my work.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a new job.
Okay.
Right now, but I'm just sucking that up for money.
Okay, so it's not the passion. Because oftentimes
you
want a passion.
Right.
You want a passion
and
job.
And with Pluto on your Saturn, you really are, you know, it looks like it's death and rebirth of your work last year, this year, and into next spring. So it really is a chance to do it differently and to walk into, to notice, you never quite think you know enough. You're the aspects of an eternal student. So you don't quite have the confidence, and it's a little. But really, when you go to do anything, there's not much you can't do. So it's to look at what is it that you really have a natural sense of authority about, and how can you move into that more?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, custom cars and anything automotive.
Oh, okay, like detail work and fancy stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. That works great with that moon in Virgo because it gives you it's a practical creativity. I like that. And I think that can really, you're going to be working on your you need a little work with the marketing. Not bad. You do a lot of word of mouth, it looks like. But what you want to do is encourage people to say, okay, if you really like it, tell your friends about me and send them. And that's not a hard thing to ask for. It is a little hard for your chart to ask for it. But you want to kind of figure out a way to do marketing that you're doing marketing, but you're not really doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So that's maybe the project for this year. Because with the and try creative things that don't cost a lot of money. Because Saturn's going through the fifth house, it can offer you a great opportunity to come up with, this is a great way for me to showcase my talent. So... But I think it looks good. I think you're going to look at a good year. And it's certainly your wife and your mother, if they're having birthdays this week, they're going to have a very active year with that T-square.
Wow.
Because that will be in their solar return. So they might be a little testy. You kind of have to say, okie dokie, not trying to get you mad at me, just trying to create new things. So
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah, could you do a quick birthday reading?
Sure, I do.
For my mom.
Okay. What's mom's birthday?
August 30th. No, I'm sorry. For my wife.
Okay.
For your wife.
August 30th, 61.
61?
Yes.
Time. And what time?
We don't have a birth time, but she was born in Aegean, Greece.
Okay. Do you know anything about her birth or what was happening in the family right as she was born?
She's adopted, so we really don't know.
Okay. That looks like a really tough, like, the very first year of her life. And that it's all been easier since then. Because her son conjunct Pluto that day.
That day?
Yeah,
the day she was born.
So it's like the very early, the turnaround around her birth. But that can leave her feeling, ready to see problems where they're not always problems. But let's take a look at her birthday. And do you have her return up yet?
No. Mm-mm. Well, we can't really do a return because of
the time.
We could just do transits.
It looks like a progressed moon might have just, we don't know, but I get the feeling that it just left Capricorn and is heading into Aquarius. I think... She has a potential for a really good year ahead, but this week, again, it looks to me like a fair amount of kind of high-strung and some worries and concerns.
Mm-hmm.
She's always worried and concerned.
Right. Well, she's got all that Virgo in her chart.
Constantly worried and always. I mean, she wakes up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I think she lays up at night worrying about things to worry about.
No, I don't think she lays up I don't think she wakes up at night to worry about things. I think she wakes up first thing in the morning and worries about them.
Yeah, no.
But again,
at night she thinks about what she can worry about.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of her Sun-Pluto conjunction.
Is it?
And it came with just, you know, when that first year, it was kind of a miracle that she survived from
Well, she was adopted. She was sent here at 6 months old.
Yeah. So, you know, so much of if what I would say to her is if she could look at her worry and see where it's working for her and where it's not, and that a lot of the worry that she has is sort of her soul healing from that first year, and that if you can treat it that way and don't try to talk her out of it or get irritated, just say, I hear you, it sounds like you're really worried, and what else is going on? And so, and say, and like, okay, let's look through the worries. Now, that's what could go wrong. What do you think could go right? And slowly build up the muscles in her for looking on the positive without trying to talk her out of the, her concerns.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And she needs attention for the positive in her with that Venus in Leo. She needs someone to see, you know, what's worthy and what's positive, and any time, you know, that she's used to getting attention for what's the problem, but not always attention for what's working right. So that if you help her spend some time thinking about what could go right, not just what could go wrong, and, okay, that's what's bad about that person, what's good about them, and just kind of saying, yes, and what's the other side of the coin? It'll slowly build that in her.
It's kind of like flipping the energy, you know. It's I was away one time at a convention, and there were a bunch of orthodontists. So my comment was, these people torture children, because, you know, I had braces when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I was riding in a van to the airport, and there's a woman in astrology world who's very good at flipping the imagery. And so, you know, she's got purple hair, and she looks a little kind of out there. And so the orthodontist wife leaned over and said, so, were you here at the orthodontist convention? And she's like, no, I'm here at the astrology convention. She's like, the astrology convention? And she goes, yes, the astrology convention. And she goes, actually, you know, we do the same kind of work. At which point the orthodontist husband, who's sitting in the middle of the bench on the bus to the airport, kind of turns and looks at her with this, like, scowl.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, we both straighten people out. And so your job is with your wife is to flip the energy. You know, and I was, of course, going, these people torture people. But she was like, no, we both straighten people out. To find the common solution or to find the helpful solution in it. And I think that will help a lot with her this year. And she actually has a grand trine in Earth this year, and she's got stuff on the North Node. So it's very good for her to push forward with her dreams of what she wants to create. So, and we only have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to... cut you loose, and we're going to wrap up. Mark, your any last comments or thoughts on the week?
Just one note for Tom. The other thing with your wife is keep looking for what's the action to take, and that'll always seem like a mystery to her, but there's a Neptune-Mars connection with the Sun-Pluto that the way it works is that if she does bring it to an action, things will work out. It's just that it seems like a mystery, but that mystery always works. So keep her directed toward, you know, feet on the ground and march forward. And otherwise, I think we're ready for the week.
Yeah. Heather, any last thoughts?
Okay, be really nice to one another. Keep an eye out on the weather. When these aspects sometimes get tumultuous, and everybody around us is in a perfectly happy mood, but the weather goes crazy. So if it says sudden thunderstorms, take it seriously. Take a look. If any of your machines say, check your engine light flashes on, don't try to make it to the next gas station. Stop and get help now. When in doubt, you know, be careful and keep your sense of humor about it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those interesting weeks. In the beginning of the week, Moon's in Scorpio, particularly intense Monday,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday. Sag
mm-hmm.
Moon late on Wednesday, long void Moon in the afternoon on the 26th. Sag Moon
mm-hmm.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which is a very passionate Moon, and it actually
mm-hmm.
has some interesting closing aspects about separating and moving. And then the Capricorn Moon on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, is great for garage sales, cleaning, organizing, releasing various and sundry out into the world. So we have 15 seconds left before our show is over. We invite you to write us at are write and ask us questions. We'll read them on the air. Of course, next time I'll print it out so I can find it.
AstroNYC.com.
AstroNYC.com. And also feel free to contact us if you have any questions. So take care, and everybody have a good week. This is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side.
Mark
and I am
Wolf
joined by
Mark Wolf, New York, signing off.
Yay.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from the Canadian border in North Dakota.
Cool. So
okay.
We'll talk to you guys all
Bye-bye.
Next week. Bye-bye. Take care. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.